It's time to get brutally honest.
O's got his alumni jacket on. He tried the button.
It fits.
Yeah, it fits without the button.
It just doesn't do up.
You know what someone texted in wondering?
What?
It was Turk Broda's jacket I got.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app, now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Ricky Ray will join us later in the hour. But Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider in studio. What's happening, Dregs?
It's new that I'm in studio. You know, I'm not usually in studio, but considering you guys dressed up for the occasion, I thought I'd make a special allowance.
Dude, I've been in sloth mode for a month and a half, and I'm embracing it now. We talked about it earlier. I've been wearing track pants every day for 6 weeks.
And that's new how?
Well, that's true. I mean, usually when I come to work, I'll strap on some jeans. I'm not a suit guy at work, but I'm into it, man. Yeah. I'm into it. I'm fine. I got the knee brace, and I'm walking now a little bit. I'm fine with how I look.
As long as they're not the same sweatpants.
I have two pairs of sweatpants, okay. And I rotate between the two.
Wow.
I've washed them probably once.
Wow. Now, you had knee surgery, correct?
Yep, meniscus repair.
See, my family, we had to make a real difficult decision. Our Shih Tzu jumped off the bed.
Ooh, that was a dicey dog name.
A breed.
Pug Shih Tzu cross.
He circles back. I like it.
Yeah. All right. Jumps off the bed. Mm-hmm. Doesn't appear injured. A couple of days later, develops a pretty nasty limp.
Uh-oh.
All right?
Bad hip.
No. Torn doggy ACL.
Wow.
They have fortunately, those. My household growing up, that would have been...
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
No.
Going to live on a farm somewhere.
Yeah. Now, there was a strong recommendation to get the knee, whatever it is, repaired. Yeah.
By the way, this isn't a $10 thing.
$4,000.
Four grand for an ACL.
See, if however, mom had told my dad it's $4,000for a knee.
Are we covered at TSN for that kind of operation?
I don't know. I'm going to sound horrible here because, of course, I would have paid the $4,000 to get it fixed. However, the surgeon, he was a real honest person, said, you know what? Dog's 10 years old.
Yeah, probably.
The recovery process is probably going to be more of an issue for the dog than the actual injury is.
So the dog's gone?
No, the dog's hopping around like a bunny rabbit, doesn't have a care in the world.
So rehabbing kind of on its own almost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you could give him a quarter.
Didn't milk it quite as much as you have, Brian. I mean, that's the point of the story.
It's a full milking.
Maybe a quarter.
Full milking. I'm really not as damaged as I've been
claiming. We have to keep in mind, he grew up in Saskatchewan. Usually an injury like that, you head out to the farm.
Ask me how many dogs I had growing up.
I can imagine.
You head out to the barn and
the old 12 gauge coming up.
It's terrible. It is terrible.
Well, it's going to feel like Saskatchewan tonight. You see this? We're bracing for like -9, -10 and snow. And
it's been -20 plus in Saskatchewan for the last week and a half.
I talked to my brother today, too, in Edmonton, said it's -25, I think. Something going on about -25. The wind chill, maybe.
Do those cities out there, like the western cities, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Regina?
Yeah. Calgary gets Chinooks,
maybe,
so you don't.
Maybe Calgary, but let's say Regina, Winnipeg, Edmonton. Do you guys, like, battle it out? Like, is that, like, a source of pride for you?
No. You're not wearing shorts trying to be a hero. No, I mean, it's just, for a while, for me growing up, it was you dressed for the weather, but we still found a way to go play road hockey. You still found a way to skate outside. Like, it just was a part of life.
No exposed skin, you're okay.
Yeah, it's not a badge of honor. It's just the way that you had to live. Like, if it was -25 or -28 with the wind chill and that, you know what you got? You got to ride to school instead of walking. Like, you get dropped off at school. Schools weren't closed. You had to take... Like, if it was -28 in the wind chill,
making a rink in the backyard, that's what you're doing.
Yeah, like it wouldn't be, they would close everything down here.
I like it. Not so much here.
When I traded my first vehicle in when I moved to Toronto in 1998, I had a Ford Explorer. I traded it in, bought a Honda something or other. It didn't have a, what do they call them, block heater.
Oh, yeah.
There was the cord out of the front of the vehicle. I took it back. I'm like, it's missing the cord. I got to plug my vehicle
in. Not here, dude.
They're looking at me going, what's wrong with
Not here, man. Yeah. We don't roll that way. I love that. Right, plugging your car in to make sure
it
starts.
Nice.
Well, if you didn't, it wouldn't start.
I know. I know. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider in studio. We haven't really got into Babcock's commentary post-game where he wasn't getting grilled, but he was asked about when Matthews was coming back, and he said, honest to God, I don't know. He's got to have a decent read, don't you think? I mean, the player has to go in
every day and do his treatment, and then there's an update. But he loves to separate himself like he has no idea what the trainers are thinking or what's wrong with him.
And every coach does that, to be fair to him. They all play that role sport.
Have you noticed recently, like, everything's like, well, the sports science guys say this.
Yeah.
Sports science guys say that.
But he wasn't doing that last year. Remember the Marner injury? A couple times he came out and he's like, well, I think he's ready to go, but I guess he's not.
But he turned that around
this year, and he said, I'm not asking a guy every day because that's not fair.
But that's Matthews. Yeah. He's not asking every day.
I was reading Matt Martin saying, you know, talking about it. We had Morgan Riley on it. He brought up the sports science guy. I mean, yeah, teams have them now. It's just, to me, I'm sure it goes a lot deeper. There's a team of doctors and scientists or whoever else they've got on. Like, I couldn't imagine, and I made a little bit of a joke with it with Morgan Riley, like having a heart rate monitor on for a practice. Like, there's times, I guarantee you, in practice, like, I worked pretty hard, and I would face a lot of shots, but there were times where I had nothing left in the tank, and I was dogging it. Can you imagine a sports science guy coming to me afterwards? He's like, you know what? You faced 480 shots today. 300 went in, and your heart rate didn't get above 82.
your blood alcohol level.
Yeah, exactly. And we took blood afterwards, and you're not allowed to drive home. You know, like, that's... I know that's not today's landscape, but...
I saw goalie Jamie went to Vegas for the night, flew back for practice in L.A., and I'd never seen anything like it. He just stood there like a scarecrow for the whole practice.
Was his name Ed Belfour?
No, it was not. We don't play the name game on this show, but it was... The guys were like, this guy needs to smarten up and like act like you're...
Just pretend.
Fake it a little bit.
That's old school.
Now, there's nothing amusing about an injury, and certainly not when it's your best player, and Austin Matthews clearly is that. But that's the amusing part of social media for me, is seeing how the country is divided, right? So you've got people on the west side who are making fun of all of the reaction and overreaction to Austin Matthews. And then conversely, I mean, Connor McDavid goes to, I don't recall. Now, McDavid's injury was serious. It kept him out of the lineup for
40
games. He missed a good chunk of the year. I don't recall us ever having conversations in Toronto or in the media about, oh, poor Connor.
I know, mocking the significance of the injury.
Like, it's ridiculous.
It's a Toronto thing, man.
The gifts that are flying back out of Edmonton directed at Maple Leaf fans and Austin Matthews. You know, there was one last night that showed a candlelight vigil outside Air Canada Center because he's not playing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amusing, but it's ridiculous.
It's so true, though. When McDavid, if he misses a shift, they're freaking out. And I understand why they would.
Oh, for sure.
But of course they should. It's McDavid.
I agree, but there is somewhat of overkill, too. Like,
but that's volume. That's because the media.
Exactly.
There's more media.
Bobby Mack took a shot at it just lightly the other day where he's like, oh, guess Austin Matthews is out for a warm-up because his Twitter feed was Matthews out for warm-up.
A screen grab of about 17 different people.
And the people that he followed.
Including his son, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's why he made light of it. But I think what it is you're looking at other markets going, like, hey, our team, for example, Montreal's won a couple in a row. Rangers, Vancouver's been great. You know, there's so many other storylines in Canada. Duchesne gets traded. And they're like, Austin Matthews is out for warm up. We gotta talk about it. Like, that's kind of, I think, where the barbs come from. But he's the best player in Toronto. Like, you have to talk about it. Like, it's just like if Connor McDavid isn't playing well or got nicked up. If he wasn't playing tonight against New Jersey, that's a big story.
Well, sure it is. Look at what's happened in Montreal. We goof about it. You know, Price, is he going to get shipped out now because Lindgren's the next Ken Dryden? But I understand why in Montreal it's a massive story. What's going on with Price? It should be. How can you not be talking about his poor play and the contract that's kicking in next year?
And we do our fair share of creating stuff And by we, I mean the collective media. I mean, yeah. I was asked the other day something about, you know, would you trade Mitch Marner for Darnell Nurse? Or would you trade Carey Price for Freddie Anderson and Mitch Marner, or something along those lines?
Were you sitting with Joe from the Bridge in that?
No, it was on radio.
Live on radio.
Yeah, but it's like you can sit in a bar and have a bunch of beers and say, would you do this and would you do that? Yeah. It's just...
Well, it is conversation. Like, it is fodder. It doesn't have to be... It doesn't have to go farther than the end of the bar or the end of that segment, but it does sometimes.
And what is Pierre Dorion like? He was like, well, you never know. We might need a centerman. We might need a left winger. I don't even understand what the motivation of that is.
About Duchesne, you mean?
Well, he was like, we're happy to get Duchesne, but we're still looking.
They need more.
Oh, yeah. And he's made a point of saying that. That wasn't lip service. But I followed up, and my question is, well, how do you get more? Who are you trading? Now, Nick Paul, with all due respect, who's on the trip, he's a big center, might have NHL game. We haven't seen it yet, but you're not getting the pieces that he's throwing out. So.
They've got a guy named Jack Rodewald on the trip. Like, what they have are good players, but I think they're short at least one more NHL body.
But they've got some pretty good prospects.
Oh, they do.
You just have to trade them.
They do.
So there's how you make it work.
But
if someone's available, clearly.
But do you want to get, you know, to the point? Do you want to empty the cupboards out if you're not 100% sure where your team's at? Like, that's why we were having some fun with the Karjala Cup. Like,
the what?
Karjala or whatever it is. Yeah.
I love how it's our property.
Karjali?
No, not one person in the building knows.
I just said it properly.
Karjali. Is that what it is? Karjali?
Karjala.
Yeah.
But I just it is.
No good.
It's not Karjala. It's Karjala.
It's a hard J.
Is it?
No, it's not. He's making stuff up. What my point is there's Ted Purcell there.
Yeah.
There's Nick Spaulding. There's NHL potential bodies there. And you know,
Gilbert Brulé.
Brulé, but maybe they're past their prime, but maybe there's a guys that can help out a roster if you're hurting.
And you got to be careful if you're moving out Colin White as an example of a prospect. You know, we talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs and what they're going to do. Auston Matthews is going to cash in, obviously, but what about Nylander? What about Marner? And go down the list. Well, Ottawa's collection of big tickets coming up is significant as well, starting, of course, with Erik Karlsson.
Right.
What's Mark Stone going to get?
Yeah, that guy's getting paid.
You know, Cody Ceci isn't that far away from needing a new deal. So, you know, you got to be careful when you're moving out your young pieces because some of those older guys are going to have to get traded.
Yep. Yeah. No, there's no denying that. But I guess that's just always the age-old question. If you're a GM, how far are you willing to go?
Exactly.
You know, if you're speaking publicly, then we talk about a fan base's reaction. You hear that out of the GM, naturally you're going to get greedy. Okay, where are you taking this? Who are you going to trade for? Who are you kicking tires on?
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg's got to be taking a big sigh of relief here that they've got it together, and they went
they're a good team, man.
I went from thinking Paul Maurice is going to get fired here if this garbage keeps up. I don't care if he signed an extension, but now they look like a force.
Yeah, well, I mean, go back to game one against the Leafs. It couldn't have gone worse with Steve Mason making his debut, you know, for the Jets on home ice. He was no good in that game. And
then
no
he had another stinker, and then he's like, I got to go back to him. And he had another stinker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, true to his word, you know, Maurice, before that opening game, I asked him how many games that, you know, he felt Mason would end up playing as the starter. And he goes, well, I'm going to tell you he's our number one right now, but I'm not telling you the number of games because I don't know. He goes, if he gets hot, we'll ride him. If the other guy, Hellebuck, gets hot, then we'll ride him. We're not in a position as an organization to mess around. We got to win hockey games, and they've done that.
Hellebuck's the goaltender that has more upside, and he just needed to earn it. And he's been brilliant for them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was in some form to sign Mason to a 2-year deal, a guy who has been a starter in the league. It was almost the fire that Hellebuck needed to, like, hey, I've got some serious competition.
Yeah, I
got to
wake up here.
I've got this is my career here. Yeah. I'm either going to turn a corner, or this guy's going to take my job and they're going to move past me or move me out at some point because Comrie's coming. Like, they've got a young goaltender in Erik Comrie as well. So it's been good, but I you know, we joked around. Remember, I don't know, it was Jerry's percentage a while ago. Like, not just because I'm calling games, I'd like that Winnipeg team. I think they're good. And, you mentioned it a couple days ago. You thought that maybe they're a little bit like LA is. L.A. was a couple years back. Like, they're big, like they're
big,
mean.
They're nasty, yeah, and they can score.
Play pretty much any game you want.
Yeah, they're pretty well-rounded. Now, you know, we'll see how long and consistent they are. They still tend to get into penalty trouble sometimes, but I like that group, and they've got some great young players, just like the Leafs and just like some other teams in this league that you're watching kind of turn the corner right in front of our eyes.
Well, doesn't it seem like the team everyone's chasing right now is Tampa?
Yeah.
And last night they roll into San Jose and just spank the Sharks. And they play L.A. tonight, and that's going to be a great game, you would expect. But Kucherov, Stamkos, and Namestnikov each had 3 points again last night.
Yeah.
Just that line is crazy.
Well, they are. And you want to say that they're a one-line team. So if you can shut down that top line, then you're going to have success. But it's not that simple. I mean, look at Braden Point and the production he's got going on that second line. Mm-hmm. And if you want to pour your resources into trying to shut down that top line and it doesn't work and you get into the scramble mode, well, that opens things up as well. Their blue line, their top four are rock solid, and they're getting the goaltending. So I guess for me, what I'm trying to figure out is, was it all about the injuries, all about not having Stamkos last year and some others? I mean, they had a rash of injuries last year, but the difference from last year to this year is just about immeasurable.
Yeah.
By dominance, it is.
But health is a big part of that, and then guys... you're not going to have your best season every year, but all of a sudden, you know, Johnson looks really good. Like, and again, Stamkos healthy, and I was wondering starting at the start of the season, was there going to be enough of the puck for Kucherov and Stamkos? Because both are shooters, both like to control the play, and it's almost like they've said, maybe sat down and said, "Man, I'm going to fake a shot and I'm going to find you. I'll take the assist any day." Like both of them, that chemistry's there, and now they're just. Oh, to your point, a two-headed attack?
A two-pronged attack.
Two-pronged attack.
Wow.
I'll tell you what. I was in one of my first business meetings. I was doing something with one of my friends the other day, and we were in the business meeting. And he throws out two-pronged attack in the meeting.
How'd that go on?
I started laughing.
Who is the other prong?
It was Pat Quinn's classic line. He'd always be like, "They're going to come at us with a two-pronged attack." Everyone was like,
"What does that even mean?
What does that even mean?"
Who are the two prongs?
Yeah, what are the two prongs?
Classic.
You know, we focus so much on the money game and the cap-related stuff because that's the NHL that we currently live with. But Kucherov at $4.7 million is brilliant business. But, man, is he going to get paid. Now, he's an RFA after next year. So they got this year and next year at 4.7. That's a remarkable number.
And I'm sure they're thinking win this year or next, and then...
And I'm sure he's already told Stevie Y, if you think that Stamkos 8.5 is the limit, go ahead and throw me on the market because that ain't going to cut it. If he keeps rolling like this and does his 2 years in a row, they're going to have to pay him $11 million or something like that.
Eiserman will pay it. He's got no choice, but he'll pay it.
Really? Well, then you're into another. I guess what I'm saying is
Vasilevsky is going to be up.
Well, somebody pays the price.
Everyone's got to pay the price,
right?
Every team in the league, it seems like now, is basically working with a two-year
window. I don't think he would pay it, Darren. I think he's just going to go to him and say, "Look, Hedman took a haircut to stay. Stammer did." Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, if you do the numbers and the taxes and
Hedman at 7.8 is a brilliant contract.
Dude, he would have been a $12 million defenseman.
He's a spectacular player.
But they could just say to him, "Do you want to continue to be a part of this group, live in Tampa Bay and win?"
As Pooley pointed out from a management position, he said Yzerman has done it perfect because he created a stepladder. So if you have Stamkos at top and then Hedman.
Just like Detroit did with Lidstrom.
Exactly.
But what I'm saying is Kucherov's not going to put up with that.
No, but Kucherov goes, "Okay, yeah, I want to be at the top of that stepladder." And he can earn that because Seabrook signed more money than Keith. Mm-hmm. Keith took that deal at that time, and Seabrook said, "Great, very happy for you, Duncan. Here's the marketplace." And that's the truth. I don't think the animosity. I don't think Stevie Eisenman is going to go, or Steve Stamkos is going to go, "You know what?
Yeah,
you can't make more."
No, I don't think he will either. And let's be honest, Kucherov's an RFA, so there are limitations in terms of how much power he's going to have. But I think the bigger picture here is we've talked about three teams already: the Maple Leafs, the Senators, and Tampa, and all of them are dealing with basically a 2 year window. In 2 years. Carlson's up and Duchesne. In 2 years, the Matthews and Marner contracts kick in. In 2 years, Kucherov's up. Like, that's kind of what the league has has become.
Well, and
if you're lucky, you got 2 years to pounce.
And you better be smart managing your cap, because if you know one or two bad contracts that you can't rinse could cost you a player that you need
big time
in your roster at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and I mean, that's why there was a lot of debate over the Patrick Marleau signing, because you know it's a 3-year deal, which would leak into when Matthews and Marner kick off, but. You know, he's 16, 17 games into his tenure here, and you see the way he played last night, why it made sense for them.
He doesn't look 38. He
played
great
last night.
But he's such a good player, and that's why I kind of argue against people saying, well, he's, you know, and not just Marleau, but other players that are 33, 34, 35, there's a common theme. All of them can skate because you have to keep up with the pace of the game. And Marlowe's a wily vet. He's durable.
Tremendously still, gifted skater.
Exactly. Still can score. Like, that's what they're looking at it and saying, yeah, maybe our analytics suggest that there will be
a bit of a drop. Yeah.
But he's a special player. You're not just dealing with an average 38-year-old person. This is a special person. Hayes, you said, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think he is. Or
he's going to be on the cusp. So
yeah, you can't compare him at 38 to other 38-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. It's an unfair comparison. Roosevelt.
Yeah, Michael Roosevelt. He's a different type of player.
Right. Well, Matt Cullen's playing at 40.
He's 41. He's turned 41.
But he can skate.
He can skate.
Yeah. Cullen can skate.
So his pace is fine with the play. Now it's just about the body can hold up for 82 games plus. And
how many times do you think Babcock maybe won't have to, but... He spools up that race with Marleau and Spurgeon, who was the other guy, where he won the race and nullified the icing.
Yeah.
In the video room, he'll play that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but if you're not going as hard as you possibly can go and you're a 20-something, have a look at that in the intermission.
Oh, that's his godfather. that's his masterpiece.
It should be.
His deer hunter. Where it's like, yeah, exactly. Hey, Mitch, come in here for a second. Or whoever
he cheated on that play. Now have a look
Take
at this.
Take a look at this cat who's played 1,500 games. Yep. Anyway. All right, Dregs, what do you got going on tonight?
You know what? I had a good chat with Clayton Keller last night, and that's going to be the Dregger Report tomorrow.
You think
what a good kid he is.
Front runner?
I think he's got to be. He's got double digits.
Sergachev's in there. There's a few in there, but he's got to be
Brock
the front
Besser,
runner.
Like there's Besser, Sergachev.
Yeah.
You know, there's some good young rookies, but I mean, Keller's the only shining star there.
That might be the concern for votes if he's thinking that he'll get lost in the shuffle because they're such a disaster.
Yeah, but Sergachev's playing on a top tier team, so that's going to drag him up. Besser's.
If anyway, Besser, like it's just like if Sergachev or Keller was in a Canadian market, it would be like no contest. Yeah. It would just be...
Yeah. You know, Babcock told me at the World Championships last year, and I mean, Clayton Keller wasn't foreign to us coming out of the draft, right? But he watched him on the other side in Germany before coming over to Paris playing for Team USA. He goes, you got to see this kid play. He is unreal. Mm-hmm. That was at the World Championships. So.
Well, yeah. He's proven
he's
people
top 10
right.
pick for a reason. Good player. All right, Dregs.
Hey, guys. Buddy. Thanks.
There's Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Ricky Ray will join us later in the hour. He's up for the MOP, him and Mike Riley, down to a two-man race. We'll get his take on basically a sales pitch. Sell us on why you should be the MOP for the first time in your illustrious career.
I think you mean to say MVP.
No, I don't. It's MOP.
No guy.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Old Man Winter is officially in the house. It is a sideshow outside.
Terms of what?
Is
like
it snowing?
Raining?
It's going to snow. It's snow. It's going to snow. I'll be on the slopes. I would think not this weekend, next weekend?
No, I think it's supposed to warm up
again. It's supposed to smarten up next week.
Yeah, by early next week, it's back up to 7 or 8 degrees. You're not snowing with that kind of weather.
Snowboarding. You've had a bunch of different errors today.
What did I just say?
MOP, MVP. It's the MVP.
No, it's the MOP. And I think this year's MOP is going to join us in about 10 minutes.
That'll be nice.
Ricky Ray. Do you know the saying you can only make...
Or do we go with Rick Ray?
Rick Ray, that's fine. Do you know the saying you can only make one first impression?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are familiar with that? Did I get that one right? You've heard that, correct?
Yes. Not bad.
Did you hear the news out of Vegas today that a self-driving shuttle bus...
I saw that.
The first in history in the United States...
Crashed.
Got into an accident. Into an accident today.
Now, I didn't hear that. Yeah. I saw a first self-driving shuttle bus.
Oh, big news. This is the start of a new era. Did it
drive in the side of a building?
Or no, you can't have a self-driving car.
I don't want that.
Here's the problem.
There's too many different elements that go on where you have to...
Here's the problem, because I think it probably was fine. Some dope drove into it.
It was. It was human error.
Exactly. Of course it
was. It wasn't actually the machine, but still, I'll blame the machine, because it should have known better. It shouldn't have been standing there.
Should have been... You know what the problem is? It was probably driving in the middle of its lane, and that doesn't happen.
Right.
People...
Well, it happens, but idiots are supposed to figure it out when you're actually a human being behind the wheel.
Yeah,
but I'm not getting on that first voyage. Imagine stepping on that thing the first time.
I would have gone on it.
You would have been a first-time self-driving shuttle bus.
Do you not hear that Uber is... Did you see what Uber's trying to do? Uber Air in Los Angeles by 2020.
For what? So people like on helicopters
you
and stuff?
You can take a little flight across town.
No.
Uber Air, a little shuttle flight.
I'm not
that's
doing
the
that.
Wave of the future. The problem is guaranteed... The shuttle bus was minding its own business, and some jackass drove into it.
That's exactly apparently what happened. Some idiot came around the corner, was supposed to stop, didn't stop, fender bender. Nobody got hurt.
Of course
but
not.
But that doesn't matter. What matters is the self-driving shuttle bus on its first drive ran into an accident. And immediately, if I'm in Vegas and I had it booked for today or the next day, I'd be like, canceled. No, thank you. Give me a busy. Give me a cab.
The wave of the future, I'm telling you, these self-driving cars. The problem is, they will be fine. It's the guys in the Ford Focus going 140 that is the problem.
That is expecting them to have a human reaction.
Exactly.
When they're not going to have a human reaction.
Not
going to
happen.
There's going to be pilots, though, for that Uber Fly, right?
No, it's not going to be
a guy self-flying planes.
Mike Commodore.
Yeah, it's an actual pilot.
Yes, it'll
There's be a, Uber Fly?
Well, that's what Noodles is saying. They're going to attempt it in L.A.
Yes,
I had heard those. There have been rumors before the idea of flying from Hamilton into Billy Bishop.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you can get a helicopter. Like it happens in New York all the time. I see on my. I've got a buddy who.
Yeah, but who wants to pay 1,200 to go from Hamilton to Toronto?
But that's what it is. You would have to commit to the seat, and you'd have to do it every day, and you'd have to have money.
Yeah,
but Monday through Friday at 7, it goes up. At 7:05, it's landing at Billy Bishop or whatever.
Exactly.
And you avoid the QEW.
That's what the rich people in New York
are talking $1,000 a day.
No, I'm sure you would have to work out a better deal than that. But let's say you fly it 200 times a year back and forth. Yeah, you're probably paying $100,000 or something like that.
If you have lots of money, it's worth your time. It happens in Vancouver. You land in Vancouver and you want to get up the Whistler.
I got a better idea, Jamie. Move to Toronto, you dope.
It costs you more to get a house in Toronto.
Oh, but you can afford a chopper every day?
Well, let's
move to Toronto.
Let's say you pay $100,000 for that a year.
Holy Christ.
And you get a house, a monster house for what, $700,000 in Hamilton. And in Toronto, it costs you $4 million.
Yeah,
more. That's a lot of flights.
I'd rather take the flight and not deal with the congestion downtown. You got picketers and all sorts of... What else you got going downtown in Toronto right now?
Listen to you, picketers. What picketers are you talking about?
Isn't there college?
Oh, yeah, there's a strike going on.
Yeah, there's a strike going on.
Right.
There's every day there's something going on downtown.
Well, I'm sure there's something going on in Hamilton, but if you live in Hamilton, you got the tap man.
Yes. Yes, guy.
Yes, guying you throughout your afternoon drive. All right, the future MOP.
Yes.
Rick Ray. Is going to join us, and we'll get his take on...
We got to ask him if he prefers Ricky or Rick.
Well, it's always been Ricky, but does anybody call him Rick?
That's my first question.
Okay, we'll throw that at him. How does he plan on handling his bye week, essentially? I mean, they're sitting back waiting to see who they're going to play. Saskatchewan or Ottawa at BMO next weekend. So we'll catch up with Ricky Ray next. Wes tweeting in saying, let me get this straight. Noodles won't eat sushi, but he'd be the first one on the maiden voyage of a self-driving bus. How does that make sense?
There's more trust in computers than in raw fish.
You would trust a self-driving bus over sushi?
I have a sensitive stomach. I don't like fish. And do you eat raw foods?
No, I'm not particularly fond either, but I'm less fond of a bus without a human being driving.
Well, it's not like he's driving 140 down the highway.
But what if it goes crazy? What if the bussy decides, you know what,
I've been waiting for this. Like a horse that's gone wild and you're just stuck on it. No guy.
No, not happening.
Kick a window out and you bail.
No, really.
That's what I would scissor kick a window out. You know what
Chuck
I'd be
Norris
like?
On that?
Didn't that happen to Keanu Reeves in Speed?
Yeah, in a movie. They had to stay above 50 and...
See?
That's what I'm saying. What if this bussy's strapped with something?
Well, I'm sure there's a manual button that you can press and disarm and then I'll take control of the bus.
I guarantee you the Argos don't want Ricky Ray on a self-driving bus.
No, not a chance.
We'll ask him that out of the gate. Let's bring him in. He's up for the MOP this year. Yes. He's off this weekend. They're waiting to see if they're going to play the Saskatchewan or Ottawa at home. The first playoff game in BMO Field history next weekend. Here is Argos quarterback Ricky Ray. How you doing, Ricky?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. How do you think your head coach would respond if you sent him a note saying,
"Let's get the team on
let's get a team
a self-driving bus"?
What would the reaction be?
I don't know. Probably not too good. I mean, you know, he likes to be in control and controlling everything. So I think he'd rather have somebody up there driving.
Have you ever come across a football coach that doesn't want full control of everything?
Why is that? Like, what is it about coaches? They're just control freaks. What do you think? It's a part of their personality? Or you think they got to be like that to just show everybody who's boss?
I don't know. I think most of the good ones, yeah, just really like having everything planned out and being able to control what you're doing. And as players, I mean, we really like that, too. I mean, we really like, you know, having itineraries and knowing where we're supposed to be and when we're supposed to be places and all that. So the better coaches I've played for have been like that.
Well, I've been curious to find out more about your relationship with Mark Trestman because, you know, you've been around the game for a long time. You're already an all-time great. You're going to be a Hall of Famer. And then you come across a new coach later in your career. In which ways has Trestman maybe helped you out? In which ways have you learned something new courtesy of Mark Trestman?
Yeah, I mean he does a lot of things really well. You know, he's very detailed. He puts a lot of thought into what he's doing, and you know, just he's good at really helping us improve as players too. You know, he looks at every play by play. He doesn't allow you to kind of get sloppy with your play. He's always, you know, if something didn't work out, he's asking the question, well, why didn't it work out? And, you know, what you could have done better on that play to make it happen. And I think with that approach, he just gets everybody playing at a high level. He gets the most out of the guys playing. And, you know, as you can see, you know, with this year, we've kind of improved throughout the season. And now we're playing at a pretty good level. So you got to give him a lot of credit. And, you know, for me, I'm thankful for that because, you know, anybody who can get you, you know, to play better and be successful out there, I mean, you're happy to play for somebody like that.
With Argos quarterback Ricky Ray, again, the Argos are off this week. They've got a first-round bye. They'll be hosting either Saskatchewan or Ottawa next weekend at BMO Field. Big news in the CFL this week is you're up against Mike Riley for the MOP, and I think a lot of CFL fans were shocked when they heard that you've never won an MOP. Are you shocked by that? Like, how have you not pulled in multiple MOPs?
No, I'm not shocked. I mean, I just haven't been good enough. you know, there's always been better players than me, and, you know, that's just the way it's been, you know,
that's
throughout
not true.
My career.
You know that's not true, right? You know that's
I mean,
not
I've been
true.
Nominated a couple times, but I've just, you know, gotten beaten, so... I don't know. I mean, again, you know, you got another great player that I'm up against in Mike Riley. He's had a great year. You know, he's led that team. They're probably one of the hottest teams right now in the CFL. So, but it's great to have the nomination. I mean, you know, it's been a rough couple of years for me here. You know, just dealing with some injuries and to be back out there playing and helping the team and trying to play my best. It feels good to get that nomination again.
So, big weekend for you guys, even though you're not playing. You're tracking who you will be playing next week. I mean, I know the fans are probably picking their poison. I doubt you want to go on the radio and admit that you want to see one team over the other, but how are you going to be experiencing this Riders-Red Blacks game this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, definitely gonna watch and see what happens. And it's a tough call. I mean, we had you know, two close games against Ottawa. We were able to win both of those, but they both kind of came down to the last drive, really. You know, we held them, I think, in Ottawa, and then at home we were able to put a drive together and kick a field goal for a win. And then with Saskatchewan, the same thing. And, you know, we had a chance to tie the game up there in Saskatchewan early in the season, and we settled for a field goal, and then they went down the field and kind of ran the clock out on us. So, and then the next game, you know, they went down the field and kicked a field goal on us. So, very close matchups with both of those guys. And, yeah, like you said, I mean, it's hard to pick one of them.
We're big fans of this show, of the name Rick and people that are called Rick. Does anybody call you Rick instead of Ricky?
Yeah, I think it's probably, it seems like it might be 50-50. I mean, people call me Ricky, some Rick. I don't know. I don't really have a preference, but I think just people just kind of choose on their own.
I think if you win the MOP, it's Rick.
Yeah, you're just like, just Rick. not even Ray, just Rick.
It's just Rick. You're like Rick. Prince. It's one name. What do you think of that
idea?
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
Well, good luck with that. I know you're probably thinking more about next week's game. And I mean, that's going to be really cool. First playoff game in BMO field history. Like, what are you expecting that experience to like? You must be cherishing something like that. I mean, how often do you get a chance to kind of set the bar in terms of a new building and new experiences?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, got to be a part of the season opener last year, the first game there, and then, you know, be a part of the first playoff game. So that's going to be fun to look back on, you know, later down the road. But, you know, I mean, it's a great place to go watch a football game, you know, obviously, you know, great stadium and all that. So it's been a lot of fun. We're able to get a lot of wins there this year, and, you know, hopefully we can keep that going into the Eastern Finals.
We're looking forward to it next weekend, Eastern Final down at BMO, and we'll find out who you guys are playing this weekend, and best of luck the rest of the way. Really appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, guys, and hope to see everybody out at the Eastern Final here in a couple weeks.
You got it, down at BMO Field, and of course you'll be able to hear that game on TSN Radio and watch it across the country on TSN. Ricky or Rick?
Rick
Ray.
Rick Ray.
Rick Ray.
We like a Rick Ray.
Rick Ray. Get him that MOP, the elusive MOP. Classy guy, though. I mean, you know, yeah. There's been a couple seasons where he's like, that's a joke that I didn't win it.
Yeah.
It's one of the all-time
he's very humble, though. He's not, but, I mean, that was a question. Did you expect him to be like, yeah, you know what? Like,
I was hoping for that, but.
Like candid honesty?
Yeah. Like, that's a joke that I didn't
win. Like, I got rinsed by. Yeah.
In 07
Henry
or
Gizmo Williams.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
How did this guy actually find a way to pass me?
Yeah.
Anyway, we appreciate him doing that,
for
taking
sure.
time for us. Not surprised what he said about Trestman. I mean, every NFL quarterback, every CFL quarterback, every college quarterback, university, or head coach, I should say, they're all the same. Like, they're all control freaks. They're all on top of the game. They have to be, I guess. I mean, it just comes with the territory in football.
Yeah, but it's not just reserved for football. Like,
it's
take
not,
a look at other coaches in any sport.
But here's what I wonder, because I was listening to a clip earlier. Julian Edelman was on an SI podcast.
Right.
And was asked about Belichick, and he said, even though they're 6-2 and they're in a good spot, this is when it's really difficult to be at work and with him, because he is all business all the time.
Yeah.
He doesn't smile.
Keeps waiting for a loss. That's why he's miserable.
But we always say this in other sports, in hockey in particular. Well, the guy's got a time limit. You know, he's got an expiration date. That hasn't happened with Belichick. Why can Belichick be a pain in the ass to every player he's ever come across?
Well, I got two words. One reason, that's two words.
They win.
Super Bowl?
No,
they win.
Tom Brady.
Well, Tom Brady, sure. But
win.
But I guess so.
That you win, people
you can do whatever you want.
Exactly. Like, if you're barking and yelling at guys and you end up...
If you can get Brady on board with your message, and he can have private group meetings and say, guys, this is why he's doing this.
Well, that might be a part of it, too. You need the superstar to still be on your side.
No kidding.
You do need that.
But how many of these coaches that are hard asses last for years without winning a championship?
It doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's a dip, you're in trouble.
Because finally the guys are like, check, please. Like, this guy hasn't delivered us to the promised land, but yet he continues to hound us every day. Like, that's why hard coaches have expiration dates, but usually those hard coaches have won at some point so they can use that as in their arsenal.
Right.
Or else, why are you listening to the guy? If Peter Horacek, when he was with the Leafs at the end of that nonsense, is screaming and yelling at the players, they're going to be like, dude, what are you doing at this level?
Sorry, your name is?
Yeah, like, it doesn't happen that way.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. I think Edmonton gets after it again tonight in the Swamp.
Yeah.
They better get going here soon. But I got Edmonton winning tonight. I think the Habs lose tonight.
Oh, yeah?
They've won, what, five in a row? Minnesota back-to-back.
Yeah.
You know, Minnesota hasn't been that good. But they've got to get going themselves, Minnesota. And I feel like the Habs have benefited from a lot of back-to-backs. Well, they're sitting there waiting for them.
I think three. I was looking at their schedule. But they also had an ugly schedule early on.
Where they started on the road.
On the road and out west. And so they're getting a little bit of payback recently.
Someone sent me a tweet earlier. And yep. I'm reluctant to go with this because I didn't follow up on the research. I was at the doctor's office and he sent it to me. And I don't have the exact numbers.
Okay.
But he wrote about how the LA Kings, mm-hmm. like a large portion of their home schedule, they are playing teams that played the night before. In either Anaheim or San Jose.
Or Vegas.
Well, you catch.
But Vegas is because of Vegas.
But when you go out to L.A., you always play Anaheim, L.A.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's not, teams aren't playing L.A. first, fresh.
Yeah.
Like this year, for whatever reason, and I'm sure it's a coincidence, it's Anaheim on Tuesday, L.A. on Wednesday. That's what happened with the Leafs when they were there.
Yep.
Played San Jose, and then they played Anaheim and then L.A.
You talk about a single factor that can get you into the playoffs, that could be a little one.
Look at Tampa tonight. San Jose last night, San Jose, they're playing L.A. tonight.
Yeah. Right.
L.A.'s got them on the back-to-back. And Quick's healthy. They didn't play last night. They're sitting there waiting for them.
Yeah.
That can be very beneficial to teams.
It certainly is. And that's, when you look at scheduling, I mean, I think the Ottawa Senators have 19 back-to-backs this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a monster number.
It's a lot. I mean, those minor details can really be the difference between taking off and slowing down.
Yep.
And then, of course, St. Louis at home against Arizona.
Yeah.
Slow down 20. You can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. Proline, get way into the game. All right, you're off tomorrow because you're going to be down at the game at the ACC for the Hall of Fame night.
It's one of my favorite nights broadcasting. It's like you get to see all the guys, congratulate them.
Should be a fun night.
Get to mail in the quiz because they do it.
You'll be calling a
game? I'm doing the Ottawa-Colorado game at 2 o'clock, but I'll be in here at 4:30.
All right, so
ready to rock.
The Brian Hayes Show from 4 to 4:30.
Is Jonas coming?
I don't know who's coming.
You're going to be solo?
No, he's not.
We're out of here. I'm back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
You'll chat then.